Do you like Sheffield Life? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Life? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Soul Plus is every Saturday morning here on Sheffield Live for 1 hour from 10 a.m. All sorts of soul, the precursors to soul, the music that's come out of soul. And in 2018, it will feature The Big Chief. This is he, Alan Tessaint, playing Big Chief. Soul Plus, Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. www.sheffieldlive.org, 93.2 FM, with Harry Welburn.
Have you heard? The local talent show is now on every Friday, 4 till 5. Sheffield is absolutely brimming over with singer-songwriters, bands, musicians, amazing talent, and we're going to showcase exactly what they can do. That's on the local talent show, Fridays, 4 till 5, here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
This is Roy Bailey and you're listening to Sheffield Live, number one for Sheffield music.
Okay, if you've just tuned in, this is Sheffield Live's Right Radio, which is the second week of every Friday once a month on the second
it's
week.
It's today, in fact.
Yes, it is today.
Now.
And it's mainly focusing on poetry, which is in Sheffield and Yorkshire. Today, it's me in the studio, Evie, with...
Says... And we haven't got our resident name drop Christoph today, so we're going to have to really try hard to get some pretentious beat poet names sprinkled throughout today. So that's our mission.
Exactly. And we're going to be, all of the sound files are going to be taken from the Hive Young Writers Festival, which we attended on April the 14th.
Yep. So today we're going to hear from loads of different young writers that we met at the festival. Me and Evie went out with microphones and interviewed people. So there's be some interesting background noise in some of the interviews. We'll be hearing poems from a lot of those young writers. We've also got I think firstly not quite as young writer. I'll get in trouble now. in the studio with us today, James Roberts. So we'll be hearing from him. And then we'll be hearing some more about Hive and what Hive do generally. And then you'll notice a theme today, even more footage from the Hive Young Writers Festival. So that's what's coming up today.
Exactly. And the first poem we have is by a writer who just goes by the name L, and this is called Kintsugi.
Life ain't no crystal stair. Yeah.
That's a nice phrase.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've got a poem for us to read out? Okay.
Yep, it's called Kintsugi and it's basically about the art of chipped pottery and turning it, well, welding it back together with gold. Okay. So there's that. Kintsugi, a Japanese tradition of fixing broken pottery with gold. 6 centuries have passed, and you still hear the echo of the smash, chipped and broken shards cut in the air. You were history then, atoms before ideas, before cells crashed and you came out of the womb head first. You broke once, maybe twice by the age of 2, once in the lungs, your mother was shaking the cot and couldn't find your breath. The doctors pulled you back together, stitches and scars and kisses. Golden ones for little stars, and then you broke again, seeing angels on the ceiling. your Nanan's house, where this time I imagine them fixing you with pearls from their deepest ocean, and you dangling your feet from the clam. You break over and over, like a teacup under the hooves of a Mongolian raid, ground into dust, churned earth and shattered pieces. 6 centuries have passed and the cracks still show, galled in the rising sun, but in the dark they are something else.
So yeah, that was Kintsugi from Elle. I love that poem. It's a really beautiful tradition, mending china, broken china things with gold so that the imperfections become part of the feature. And yeah, I think Elle used that really well there.
I remember when I first met Elle, I think he did a performance at Verse Matters.
Yeah, they've been doing Verse Matters for a while now. It's been really nice seeing them developing as a writer.
Yeah, and they were wearing this, was it fairy lights under this big jacket?
Be about right.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, we had a really good time wandering around the Young Writers Festival at my place in Rotherham, but not like my house. It's actually a youth centre called My Place, which I'm wondering if that causes confusion.
Yeah, the vagueness didn't really help us, but we weren't very good at orientating ourselves.
After we had got lost walking around Rotherham for a while, we did find it. It was wonderful. Absolutely. Hive was the right name for it. It was absolutely buzzing with young people coming in and out, going to workshops, getting confidence, learning how to write poetry, and not lots of different kinds of writing. But the thing about the Hive Young Writers is they consistently tend to be better than everybody else. We quite often have some of the people from Hive Young Writers at Verse Matters, and they pretty consistently show up anybody over 25 with like the high quality of their writing. So they're doing something right. The day itself, the Hive Young Writers Festival, was amazing. There were people from all over Yorkshire, not just South Yorkshire, not just Sheffield and Rotherham.
They sold about 100 plus tickets.
It was sold out.
Really big turnout.
Well in advance. It was amazing. And a really nice thing about it as well was that people who have been young writers and have grown up like being supported by Hive Young Writers came back and helped... helped run it and helped run workshops and things. There were people like Lydia Allison, Dan Loops, who I've seen kind of be young writers, and now they're still quite young writers, but then they were coming back and giving back to that. And Kate Garrett, who we heard on the show last month, she was there giving advice. Kirsten Luckins from Apples and Snakes came down and gave advice. Just really nice sense of poetry community. Also, I keep saying poetry, I mean spoken word. And written word and just word.
Yeah, there was a really big range of workshops that was available. There was like hip hop workshops and kind of things that were dealing with kind of poetry as an interdisciplinary subject. And there was journalism workshops. There was also short fiction, flash fiction, a big range of things. And then there was a big panel Q&A in the middle, which was also really good to see people's insights that were writers and kind of come from Hive Young Writers and seen them develop.
And I think also it's really like important for people to see that there are people making a living from writing, and there are different, like there are promoters, there are actors, there are writers, there are poets who've at some point been like people who were told, oh, you can't make a living out of that, and yet here they are doing that. And as a young writer, that must be amazing to be able to like meet these people and like pick their brains a little bit. I actually went into one of the workshops for a bit. It was an improv workshop, which was really great because it was building people's confidence around being spontaneous and being creative in the moment, which is I think really important when it comes to writing and creating work.
Yeah, definitely.
See, at this point, if Christoph was here, at this point he would say that it reminded him of Ezra Pound or something, but he's not.
There
wasn't
any fascists in the building. It was fine.
There was no fascism.
Mainly
it was
lovely people, really.
Yes, yes. It was all lovely people.
So if you're a listener and you're a writer yourself and you're thinking you'd like to, perhaps you've written a novel or you've written some poetry that you potentially like to get published,
or you'd like to,
or you just like to. There's a lot of information available on the Hive Young Writers website about kind of contacts that they have,
which I think is that hivesouthyorkshire.com,
yes,
or something.
Just hivesouthyorkshire.com.
Yeah. Oh, just Google Hive and Writers, you'll find it. But yeah, they run all kinds of workshops. They run like specific projects. They have regular competitions. We heard from some of the competition winners when we were there.
And there was a 2-hour, was it not a poetry slam? I think it was meant to be one. But
no, it was just
an open mic. Yeah,
brilliant open mic. Yes, as I said, we have a collaboration with Hive, with Verse Matters. So you can quite often see young writers there. And if you come along to Verse Matters, you'll probably get to chat to Vicky, who we'll talk about later as well, who's the kind of mastermind behind Hive. So there's lots of ways to get in touch if you are sort of 14 to 25 and you want to write stuff and you want to have a community of people around you writing stuff. You want to get in touch with Hive, basically. That's our Hive advert.
Yes. Okay, and we're going to have a little bit more from Hives. We've got some more recordings coming up if you want to have a listen. Okay. So, just found a gentleman called Dom. Do you want to tell me a bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name's Dom. Go by the name of Devoted. Born and bred in Sheffield. I'm a spoken word artist, youth coordinator, and media creative.
Wonderful. Okay. Yeah. You've got some words for us.
Yeah, I've got one. It's called Flowetry. For a living, I do spoken word, so a voice is heard. Not just mine, I mean yours too if your vocals work. It's an art form that proportionates purpose, which coordinates verses. So don't ask me on the axis of why I do this, because X marks the spot to my future, where souls can attain worthy. Young and old will remain sturdy in all they believe, because without goals it's a draw. But I'm sure the whole point of the game is to score, I'm that certain. We all want our names on the board, proclaimed to be great by maiden or sir. And I'm not even saying whether or not that day will occur. You're less of a brain to the world. It just helps when praise it affirmed. I mean, it's motivation that's making you work, creating a surge that's awaiting emergence. But would you still do what you do if nobody rated the curve with all the time that it's taking you to learn? And could you still move forward without being failure deterred? Because I believe that's what's making you a person. Implanted in your own 2 feet, unreliant on what they say to make you worth it. George Eliot said, it's never too late to be what you might have been. So I say, why delay to be of service? Procrastination needs to be unheard of. Yet I can't speak on the means that I'm wording, because it's taken me years for me to word this. Esteem got the best of my dreams, suppressed in my sleep. Wrestled by the demons, threatened and I'm weak. Pressured by the streets, because deprivation makes a feral belly eat. But it's incredible to me how I went from that guy with no composure with only a hammer and knife to more my sculpture. The only tower guys I've never thought of, because only the talent lies in my closed book, which I'm now open to show you. The Devoted One.
Thank you very much.
I mean, it's great. I think this is a great opportunity, obviously. There's so much going on. I wanted to do all of the things. But yeah, so I went to the careers one, and then I just came out now of the publishing workshop or panel, and that was quite good. But to be honest, I got a lot out of the conversation I was just having there with Kieran and Zoe. Just talking about like life and career and wanting to be a writer and how I may go about that. Because my obsession at the moment is like how to best position myself to be a writer. And I'm wondering how to do that.
What tips
to
get?
What tips did I get? That there's lots of aspects to consider, basically. So you've got happiness has got a priority. Like, you don't necessarily always have to complicate things with regards to choosing a career and stuff like that. Not even a career, but what you want to do in the meantime. You might work in retail, for instance, and that might be okay, just work in that job just to support yourself, and then you do whatever you want to do with your writing, sort of thing. And they were saying also, like, things change, you might want to, like, follow some, do a project or follow a particular opportunity, like get into publishing, an internship or something, but then you'll find that you've learnt something that you've that would have helped you in that period, but it's no longer useful.
Take it to the next phase almost.
So just know when to, like, follow your instincts in that moment and then move on. Know when to move on also.
Because it's easy to kind of, I think, sometimes linger in a certain phase.
Yeah.
And not be able to, like, take the next steps or trust your instincts when it's telling you to, like, now it's time to kind of go to the
yeah.
next stage.
You've learned what you needed to learn and, like, I was also told today that possibly a career move is to become a lumberjack in the meantime of wanting to be a writer, because you're out in the outdoors and all the while thinking about writing as you're hacking into trees.
I think being a gardener would be a really good thing to do in the meantime, because you'd be like, you've got your head to yourself and you're just doing something out in the world. Having ideas to write down later.
I actually do think that's quite a good idea as well. It just feels like such a radically.
I mean, don't be a lumberjack in Sheffield. Chopping down trees in
Sheffield.
Yeah, I know.
It's
going to
work out
well for you.
Be honest with you. Sensitive.
I'm sick. Been writing for about a year. Entered a couple competitions, slam bars. Won that.
Nice.
Performed at Word Up the other day. Before then as well.
Where?
At the Word Up. Youth Word Up with it's part of Hive South Yorkshire, isn't it? It's a Hive organised event. You heard it from the man.
Okay, and who is this man? We don't know. Yeah, radio. The radio doesn't know.
Finn McCluskey Bearden, go by the name MCB.
Okay.
So yeah.
Lovely.
So yeah.
Does this have a name?
Nah.
No, that's fine.
Nowadays, kids suck on the end of a death stick. You would think they have a death wish. See, weed is a herbal medicine if you suffer from depression. I've been there, I've seen that it doesn't help, because I never want to feel the way that my cousin felt when he got sectioned. And I've got two sisters, I love them. More time when I see them, I hug them, because they're the only way that I can escape from this dungeon I'm stuck in. And I'm privileged, as I've got two parents who love me. They die for me, put anything above me. And on the face, yeah, I'm lovely, but sometimes my feelings be ugly. And I never want to be in a situation where you've got a drug habit, but skip the payment. You haven't got no other means of stimulation. If you say let's hit the road, then I kick the pavement, because my mind works backwards. In these rhymes I practice, I can't work on nothing else, because my mind gets distracted by music, as it brings a light into blackness. Sometimes I feel like a prick, like a cactus. Guess I overthink things when I'm lying on my mattress. Guess it's pretty pointless when I buy another jacket. Guess it really annoys me when these rappers be acting like the active they just actors. Guess I should form a resistance like the properties of plastic. They're not stopping me, you bastards. Music is fantastic. That's why if I'm out and I'm witnessing a madness, boys bleeding on the floor, bones are all fractured, I can just lie in my bed, put on Madlib, analyse the beats and how they're crafted. MF Doom's a lyrical wordsmith, he's a master. Wish someone would put a repair to the second Iron Lady like a blacksmith. No William, wordplay is brilliant. I want to be the pitbull of the underdogs. Pray for a million views, but I haven't even uploaded a video. Procrastination in the city though, I just wonder if someone will accept me as an individual. I'm unique in this game, I think that's pretty visible. I'm a f***ed up mixture of peacemaking criminal. Bars are never typical. I just hope something happens with me in this digital world of music, but all I'm seeing is it's difficult.
Woo! So tell me what your name is.
I'm Shaw Fowler.
And what's brought you here today?
Well, I'm a part of the Sheffield Young Writers Group, and this event was advertised and I thought it would be really fun. I know a lot of the other people who are coming and it would be a great way to meet them again.
So how's it gone so far today?
It's been really, really good. I've like met some new people. I've really enjoyed like the performances that we've seen so far and the workshop that I did.
Oh, what workshop was it?
It was the zine workshop, and we like made little mini mock-ups of zines, and it was really interesting and fun.
Oh, fantastic. And what sort of things do you write?
I'm a poet and I write mostly about myself and like sappy love stuff, but I also like try and keep things a bit like self-empowering.
So what sort? So you say you write love poems. So
was going to ask, what sort of things inspire you to write?
Personal experience, but also just, like, taking the personal experience and, like, multiplying it, making it, like, even more than it was, so that even if it has affected me, like, objectifying it can help me assess that situation on a personal level.
Make it sort of hyper-real, make it bigger.
Yeah.
And what, this question that I had for a few people, what blocks you from writing poetry? What stops you?
I think a lot of the time when I get, like, sucked back into, like, the world of poetry, I always think, okay, so I need to be writing poetry. And the best stuff that I write happens when I'm not, like, writing poetry and I'm just, like, pouring my feelings out or pouring my thoughts out about something.
Yeah, somebody else said when they've got an essay deadline, they can write really good poetry.
When you're meant to be doing something else, this is what comes up.
Out, isn't it? And any advice for other young writers?
Get it done. Do it. Like, don't sit around and think, oh, I wish I could write poetry, because you can, because everyone can, and anyone can do anything. You just got to do it.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Boom. So this is Desiree. Hello. So what kind of things do you like to write?
I write quite a lot of things. I am inspired by a lot of things. I'm inspired by colours and shapes and what people look like and what they say and how they say it. I'm inspired by language. So I can take inspiration from anywhere, really. I've written a book, it's called Seduce, and it's available from People Tree Press. I also write short stories, flash fiction, and I edit as well, of course. So, I write quite a lot.
What would you say is your favourite form of writing, if you had to choose? Yet to choose.
I refuse to choose. If I had to choose, I couldn't really, because writing the short stories feels a little bit more accessible. Not that it's easier, it just means that it's an itch I can scratch immediately. Whereas writing a novel is a proper long haul thing.
Slow massage that keeps.
Well, you scratch that itch, then you got another one.
You've got some pain, you've got a sort of knots.
Yeah, you've got to get Sudafemin. You know, you've got to do another one, and then another one, and then another one. So it's a bit more of a long haul, but they're both equally as satisfying, so I couldn't really choose.
Could you tell us a little bit about the book that you've written, to kind of provide a little bit of a synopsis, but not obviously revealing it all, because, you know.
Okay. Sheffield Live might already know, because I used to work there. But it's called Seduce, and it's written mostly in Patois, which is Caribbean language, nation language, it's called. It's not a dialect, it's a language, that's very important. It's been on a few syllabuses for universities, and it's been on for modern literature, which is quite interesting, because it's about an old woman who dies in an imagined Caribbean island. She dies and goes to her own funeral, and it's about funeral rites and people she loves and people she hates, and what that means, what blackness means, what womanhood means, what femininity means, set in that time.
Very interesting. What kind of writers have inspired you?
I'm inspired by lots of people. The big one for most black women writers, the big one's always Toni Morrison and Alice Walker. But I'm also inspired by Juno Diaz. I think he's brilliant. And I couldn't even name all of them, the people that I read constantly. I can some other ones, like, I quite like poetry as well. So Langston Hughes, I quite like his stuff. And I also just recently read William Kelly. His stuff was, he was a Harlem, just tail end of the Harlem Renaissance, right? He's as good. I read a hell of a lot, so I end up kind of, I'm inspired by all of it, really. The fact that they've even done it, I find inspiring.
I mean, in my opinion, Patois is quite a melodic kind of language. Do you think it lends itself well to poetry? And is there any poets that you really have taken a kind of interest in? Or?
Well, I think Caribbean poets are doing very well at the minute. Malaika Booker is one that's doing really well. There are a few others. There's Vladimir Lucian. He's from St. Lucia, actually. And there's Ishion. There's a lot of Cameron poetry. Well, we go back to, say, Linton Kwesi Johnson in terms of that old dub poetry, but Caribbean nation language lends itself very lyrically to poetry. It always has. And I think now that we're trying to decenter the publishing industry away from London and away from white men, heterosexual, middle class, old blokes, that these other narratives are coming through stronger, which is very, very necessary and important, otherwise the industry will pass away.
Yes, need palimpsest of voices. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Evie there, making sure that we keep the pretentiousness level nice and high with a palimpsest of voices. Yeah, brilliant word.
To keep the quota up.
Yeah. We are a poetry show after all.
Exactly. That last interview was with a lady called Desiree, who used to actually do a music hour on Sheffield Live, actually. So she's, and then now she's a poet and published novelist, which is awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, I think making really, really important points about diversity in the spoken word scene, and yeah, there can be an assumption that poetry, I think, to quote Liz Lockhead, is not there. There's my name drop for the day. It's not all middle class, middle aged, white, English, and dead.
Exactly. Next time we're going to bring one of those vibra slap things that make boing sounds. So every time we have a name drop.
Yes, you don't get many poetry. You don't get many radio shows where the words palimpsest and vibra slap appear so close together. I think we can be proud of ourselves. But yes, lovely to hear some of the opinions and enthusiasm from around the Hive Young Writers event. Also really loved Finn's rap there. Finn's a great young rapper in South Yorkshire. I don't know if he's Sheffield or Rotherham based, but yeah, we've had him at Verse Matters this last month as well, and he was great. But yes, we were going to talk about Vicky Morris, who is the sort of mum of Hive, is how I always think of her. She'll love me for saying that. But like, just as makes it her mission to support and empower and never patronise all these young writers. And I do not know what she does when she runs writing workshops, but these people turn into amazing poets and writers. I'd love to know what her secret is. I think it's possibly just believing in them, believing in these young like writers, and being like the opposite of school and telling them they can write whatever they like instead of you must do it like this. But yes. Yeah, Vicky's been doing Hive since, I think, since before it was called Hive. I seem to remember it was just called like Sheffield Young Writers, and then it kind of expanded out. But yes, like, great work from Vicky.
If you want to, if anyone that's listening wants to potentially hand something in to us at Sheffield Live at Write Radio, feel free to do so. You can hand
it. Makes it sound like homework.
We sometimes set tasks.
Yeah, we'll have to think of a challenge for you today, actually.
Yeah.
But yes, any, it doesn't need to be on a theme. Anything that you've written, like poetry, short prose, flash fiction. Looking behind me, trying to remember what the email address is.
I've got it down. It's info@sheffieldlive.org.
No, it's not. I'm getting a shake from our producer.
We could put some poetry on the sports hour.
It is apparently Write Radio, Writers in Writing, @sheffieldlive.org.
Yes, and we also have a Facebook page for that as well.
We have our silent producer who occasionally shakes his head frantically when we're getting things terribly wrong. It's a wonderful thing.
We also have another person that's been kind of silent so far. We've got an interview now with poet James Roberts. Hello, James.
Hello.
You now have permission to speak.
Yes.
Be sitting very quietly and patiently in the corner.
And I personally know James through our course, because we do a creative writing MA.
We do.
That's how we got to know each other. Recently doing the poetry module, which has been a lot of fun, definitely. I wanted to ask, primarily, to begin with, what you've been working on recently.
So the last sort of sequence that I finished was largely about Barcelona. a cub between the mountain and the sea. So I lived in Barcelona for a couple of years. My great auntie is also Catalan. So I've always been interested in the history of the city before I moved there. And then with the current situation around Catalan independence, I decided to go back towards the end of last year. And that motivated me to turn a lot of the notes that I'd made whilst I lived in Barcelona and things that I saw and what have you whilst I was in Barcelona during the days after the independence referendum to turn it into a piece of work.
Yes. Did you get involved in the poetry scene in Barcelona? Or was
it... I did. Yeah. And the poetry scene in Barcelona is fantastic. There's a monthly slam at the CCCB, which is a big arts centre in the centre of the city. And that I'd never performed at a slam before I went to that. And it pulls in an enormous number of people every month, maybe I think the biggest crowd they had when I was doing it was about 700 or 800 people.
Oh, wow.
But fairly steadily, they have 400 or 500 people. And then in the different neighbourhoods, there's sort of regular writing groups and slams in most different barrios. So it's really, really thriving. I went to a good prose writing group the 2 years that I was there as well, or the first year of the 2 years I was there. Yeah, so there's a lot to get involved in. But my Spanish, whilst I was there, wasn't and still isn't really good enough to write poems fully in Spanish. My Catalan is pigeon at best. But people were very happy to have somebody reading in English, and the result has been... Since I got back, I feel more confident starting to write in bits of Spanish.
Yeah.
Anyway, not full pieces quite yet.
Lovely. Who would you say your favourite poets, and do they influence your style?
I've recently been reading a poet called Sean Bonney, who I'd heard of before, and I'd heard him live, I'd heard recordings of him and read bits and pieces of his work. And then for the stuff that I'm working on at the minute, I've been reading a lot of him, and that's definitely an influence on what I'm writing at the minute.
What's his kind of style?
Quite sort of choppy and angry and political, but also very I don't know. Yeah, I'm not really sure beyond that.
we'll have to look it up and find out for ourselves. I think that's...
Yeah, the collection I've been reading is called Happiness Poems After Rimbaud. And he basically, he takes this sort of jumping off point, the student movement in 2010. And it's a poetic look at that. And it's as well as being quite angry and choppy, it's just very beautifully written. And that's something I was involved in and have very clear memories of, so it's really enjoyable.
Sounds like it ties in with what you're talking about with Barcelona as well.
So. Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Would you say that you have a specific writing process?
Definitely doing the creative writing MA has sort of forced me to have a writing process rather than sort of long drawn out chaos. Although my room is still just knee deep in drafts of things. It's a good job I can't smoke in my bedroom because it'd go up. the MA has been really good at getting me to actually be more organised with drafting things and with finishing a draft. Before starting on the next draft.
Our silent producer there kicking
the fire extinguisher. Maybe it was just a gong on James's room. And hopefully there's no cigarettes there.
Sorry, do go on.
I write about politics a lot or political stuff, but what I've been trying to do over the last year is find I suppose less sledgehammer ways to write about it. And I didn't study in English literature before, so it's been interesting studying a creative writing course that's part of a literature course and being more rigorous with sort of taking literary influence from other people rather than it just all being based on experience and on things that are in my head and sort of trying to put things within a literary discourse. And,
Well, yeah, it's very tempting to want to write poetry that is, and a lot of poetry is, I am angry about a thing, and a lot of great poetry is, but like doing that and at the same time having an understanding of technique and what it is that you're doing instead of just going blah, here's some rage.
Yeah.
Although not to say there isn't a place for blah, here's some rage. But yeah, that sort of not a contradiction, but that juxtaposition of things can be really interesting. Mm.
In light of that, I was going to say that poetry can be kind of seen as a reflection of society and a kind of commentary on contemporaneous social affairs and conditions. And after reading your recent poetry, which has a highly political content, would you say that there is a kind of didactic weight to it in terms of your own beliefs?
I'd say there's an element of didacticism in it, in that I use a lot of sort of references to bits of history. And obviously like movements and things that I've talked about. Although I'm conscious of it not wanting it to be sort of pure didacticism.
Yeah.
But I also don't want it to be opaque. So what I try to do in terms of like historical references is ones that I think might come across as a bit opaque is make sure that I reference them. But not in a way that forces my beliefs onto the poetry. Mm. Either I try and reference the historical events in as neutral a sort of way as I can in the footnotes, because I do. Yeah, I'd like to think if somebody reads it that it sort of at least motivates them to find out about some of the events that I'm talking about. Mm. I wouldn't say that I sort of. I wouldn't call it propagandistic. Like I don't want people to sort of read it and walk away with my politics. But I'd enjoy the thought that people were able to sort of learn about the bits of history that I refer to. And
sort of not teaching, but encouraging people to think, but not what to think.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly that. Yeah.
After, like I said before, after reading your collection, because we read it quite a lot in our workshops, it contains a lot of different voices coming in. Is that something that's been a continuous feature within your poetry, or is it just kind of more recently that you've got this kind of layering of these different...
No, that's quite recent. I mean, when I was living in Spain and living in Russia before that, and performing at what I did, I would call spoken word rather than poetry, and a lot of that was kind of uni-voiced. Yeah, I mean, like performance pieces, not necessarily my voice, but a character or a situation. So no, like the sort of heteroglossic, like multi-voice kind of thing is something that I've developed over the last year. And it was, I think, partly trying to write about the Catalan independence movement that pushed me in that direction, as well as the influence of what we've been doing on the course. But when I was in Barcelona, mates who are very pro-independence, ones who were very left-wing and would like to see a legal referendum but don't necessarily support independence, other friends on the left who are really quite anti-independence, and I mean, I do have my own view on it, but I was interested in using the poetry to sort of demonstrate the complexity of the movement and the situation. One of the things that really motivated me to write the poems was that I felt that they could the poetry of the movement could sort of at least give a hint of how complex it is. One of the things that annoyed me so much and still does annoy me is that, I mean, the British coverage of the situation there has disappeared. The Spanish media coverage is at best very, very shallow, and at worst just utter lies. And I did feel like there's a real scarcity of good journalism about it. So yeah, it forced me to think about using multiple voices and trying to represent the complexity of it.
So if you originally started doing more spoken word poetry, and then obviously with this course you've switched to paid poetry, is there specific things that you found?
Page poetry.
Or do you get paid?
Oh, paid? No. I don't think I've ever got paid once for something to do with poetry.
I got paid for one gig once, and there was nobody in the room.
Oh, good.
I was meant to do half an hour. I did 10 minutes, but I got paid £30. So I was, that's the best rate of pay I've ever had and ever will have, I think.
Yeah, getting paid enough to get to and from the poetry act and have a drink while you're there. That's the dream, guys.
Yeah. Absolute dream. But yeah, like I was saying, would you say that there has been a distinct difference in the spoken word poetry and the page poetry that you've written and how you've had to kind of alter your writing?
Yeah, I think the more political spoken word stuff I did was either had a comic take on it or was very sort of sledgehammer. And I feel like the what I've done with moving towards page poetry is still keeping like the beliefs and the political ideas I have quite central to the work. But again, like I said about the Catalan stuff, like just trying to develop it a bit more and make it sort of more representative of like a complex of beliefs and ideas than But I still think there's some, I don't know. From my point of view, I think there's a continuity from the spoken word stuff I was doing to this, and I do still enjoy doing like performing stuff that I wrote a few years ago, because I did really enjoy doing that when I did it, and then again doing the course has made me reflect on it in particular ways, but it feels quite nice to have a lot of stuff I'd written a few years ago and then stuff that I'm writing now that's completely different. I suppose that's sort of confirmation that it was worth doing a creative writing course, because you start to feel like you're actually making a bit of progress as a writer.
Yeah. And you created something with the collaboration of different poets based on the strikes that were recently happening at the university too, with the pension cuts. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. That was a really good little project. So during the UCU strikes, a group of MA, PhD students and UCU members produced a pamphlet called Pickett Pamphlet Poetry. And Pickett Poetry Pamphlet, that's the one. The pamphlet's been sold to raise money for the UCU Hardship Fund, which was largely being reserved for PhDs or casual staff who were going to be hardest hit by the lack of wages during the strike. And it was a long strike, and although it wasn't all out for a month, the impact of the strike was over a month, and that's I can't think of many strikes recently in the UK that have gone on for that long. So as well as producing the pamphlet, we did a number of poetry pop-ups around the university, and we've carried that on with a student society, the Free University of Sheffield, which is a student organisation that works alongside UCU people and campaigns against marketisation, against casualisation. The last we did an alternative open day a couple of weeks ago, and that brought in some new poets. There's Eleanor Marino, and I also brought over a friend called Lorna Dunsire to come over from Shipley, who runs a great night there called Rhubarb.
Oh, I'm really wanting to check out Rhubarb. I'm from near Shipley myself, so.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, Keithley.
Yeah. Ah, right, okay.
Don't know if Keithley's got a poetry night. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But I've heard about Rhubarb.
Yeah, it's a fantastic night. When I first came back to England, I was performing there a lot, and Lorna's a great poet, so it was really nice to have her over, and for it not to just be a student or a education workers thing, to have to have an NHS worker reading poetry as well. And I think there's real potential in this idea of radical poetry, and I don't think it means it has to be, the poems have to be explicitly political. I think it's like the purpose of it and the idea of these sort of pop-ups, almost like guerrilla poetry, and just popping up and doing them. And linking them to a particular cause, but not saying what the writing should be about. Just that kind of association between literature and radical causes, I think, is a good thing.
Mm, sounds like it involves lots of things. Yes. Would you like to do some reading of your
radical
poetry?
So I'll read... I read a few of the ones that I wrote about Catalonia. So this first one's called Banner. So commonly, like a lot of British people, when they talk about Barcelona, they'll refer to it as Barça. Barça's what you'd call the football team, and what a lot of Barcelona residents would call the city is Banner. And so this is called that. Heart given life as mind wrung dry. Stomach knotted by the stories. Later nights are early mornings. Lost in a grid and chaos are left sad. Came back more than once for dear friendship. The past and now. La escuela moderna. La semana tragica. La semana tragica. La canandenca. Blue glazed white stars. Mosaic parks. Spires unfinished. Why ruins were not to be feared. So this one, this next one's called Francesc. So one of my best friends in Barcelona, one of the most important sort of people that I met there, I feel, was a guy called Nick Lloyd. He's a walking tour guide, and he does a wonderful walking tour around the Gothic district about the history of the Civil War, that sort of takes you from 1936 through to the end of the Civil War, the start of the dictatorship. He also does a walking tour, which is in Catalan, around a place called the Fossa de la Pedrera, which was a mass grave during the Civil War, and has now been turned into a monument to the dead of the Civil War, well, to the Republican dead. And Francesc Boix was he was a photographer, it's one of the big focuses Nick has. He tells a lot about it, people a lot about it on the tour. He was a 17 when the Battle of the Ebro happened, which was one of the last battles of the war, and that's where he started taking photographs. He was working alongside the very famous Hungarian photographer Robert Kappa, and then at the end of the war, he fled to France, like a lot of Republican refugees, and ended up treated very badly by the French government, put in concentration camp called Argelès on the Mediterranean coast, which is essentially a pen on the beach. And when the Nazis invaded France, he ended up in Mauthausen. So while he was there, he carried on working as a photographer. He was forced to do that job. What he was doing at the same time was copying all of the photographs that he took. So he was being mandated by the SS to take propagandistic photos. He was copying them and passing them out to the resistance. So when Mauthausen was liberated, he had evidence to prove that people like Himmler had been there, and he's to this day the only Spanish or Catalan person to have spoken and given evidence in the Nuremberg trials. And he was able to, as a result of this evidence, was able to have some of these people brought to justice. I say to this day, No Spanish people or Catalans have been able to testify about things that happened under Franco's dictatorship because of the Spanish constitution, or unspoken clause in the Spanish constitution, the Pacto del Olvido, which basically means the pact of forgetting. There's never been any truth and reconciliation. So Bush remains one of the only people to ever sort of testify about the injustices of fascism from Spain. Anyway,
very important figure.
So I read it. From the Republic, alone at Nuremberg and at home in testimony still. Nick, el narrador historias, reminder of the forgotten, introduced us winding through El Gothic over hot coffee elsewhere. El fotógrafo de Mauthausen, Francesc Boix, My treasured local El Zodiaco had been his family home on Bly. The library wears his name with body pride. Learned his trade 17 at the Ebro. Y ahora en Trentino, un refugiado de República. A half smile for Robert a la frontera. Prisoner. De la Dier's forgotten French camps, Maginot conscript gangs. Came 1940, ein Rutschbeiner. In not just any quarry on the Danube. His work continued whilst forced to labour, all received to be revealed when la primera bandera allá en aquel camp en 45 Tavir. Los españoles antifascistas saluden a las fuerzas de liberación. And then there in that place where before bitter froth had followed and led. El Tribunal. He spoke truth.
Wonderful. Do you have any other poems you've got? You've got more?
Yeah, I can read more. Wonderful. I can read more about Catalonia or some other ones.
Anything you like.
So I've got... This is from the collection that I'm writing at the minute, which the title I think I've decided for is Derangement Poems After 2011. So this is quite a long little sequence, but I'm just trying to get it in the right order. It's called Dislocation, and I'd started it with a quote from Sean Bonney, who I mentioned earlier, and the quote is, I've fallen to pieces, I can hardly breathe, my body has become something else, has fled into its smallest dimensions, has scattered into zero. That's Sean Bonney from his letter on poetics in Happiness Poems After Limbo. Arterial jam in Stockport will freeze the hub and does, frays nerves, and frayed nerves push tempers to the end of their tethers and did. Swift Ueys and slip roads to big goodbyes, to drying eyes, before Istanbul, before Moscow and winter, the red but unknown. The outer, the inner, unfamiliar hoardings like saturnine roads in darkness. Why wandering through Domodedovo at 4 a.m. until Pachatniki? Fried lard and number 8. The beautiful brutal is misery's company, but mythic stations, their gilding and emissions, bronzed partisans, skiers whose names do surprise. To the mausoleum, eventually. Formaldehyde skin and shrunken, eternal joke of a shrewd Georgian, his nose broken and defended by aged umbrella wielders. Always a bottle icing with pickle, when the brine writes you in the morning and the reds leave you chesty if you smoke at least 40 a day. Liver itches, twitches, head will bang before throbbing halos as first light catches the orthodox dome where an apartment block stood. Conspiracy is pedestrian practice and exhausting. Always remember amphetamine, dead letter drops and urine tests, bribery, dangerous pastimes. So let's swing from a high rise instead, till 2020 vision returns and a vomited rainbow after searing nights, dawn statue horizons dancing in the face of control. Remember that owl with the 6-foot wingspan? People's courage above fear in pride. On the podium they kiss, clasped in victory. It was a protest against these barbarians, this nation of brutes. It was not. Those are elsewhere in every moment of people's existence. They don't make for neat headlines, offer no righteous vicarity. Kidnappings and murders are the points worth it. A resting place of the purged and those who took back control with a gunshot burned just before the pogrom.
A little hesitation over the pages. But that was great. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, and before we get on to talking about what we're going to be doing in the next hour, have you got any website, anything that you want to plug?
Yeah, so at the minute I've got a blog that's just givingitallthat.wordpress.com. I've been sort of keeping that up for about 3 years. I don't get many. I'm not really very good at sort of seeking out followers for it, but if you fancy having a look at it, there's quite a lot of stuff on there. Other things coming up.
Projects coming up in the future? Or?
I don't know. At the minute, I just want to get the projects that I'm on at the minute finished. But I'm just enjoying being in Sheffield and going to lots of open mics and writing groups and performances, and
there's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a really good place to be a writer at the minute, I think. So I don't know if anybody wants to collaborate on a project or anything like that, get in touch. Can you get in touch with me through the blog? I don't know. Yeah, you probably can.
I noticed this about a lot of spoken word performers. Brilliant poets. Self-promotion, not so much.
Not too tech-savvy.
I'm sure we can probably put... Evie can put people in touch if they get in touch with Right Radio, or find us on Facebook if they want to find out more as well.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you very much for coming along, James Roberts.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been very good. I'm just going to do a little run through of the next hour. So in the following hour, we have some more stuff that's live from the Hive Young Writers Festival, which me and Cez both attended. And there's going to be a discussion of the young writers in the next hour as well. We're going to be reading some dream poems that were sent in, which was one of our little tasks. Yeah.
I've started to think of a challenge to put out for next time, so we'll be hearing about that.
Okay, we will mull over that soon.
Yes, I'm not sure if it's a good idea or a bad idea, but I'm going to suggest it anyway.
Risk. Good risks, hopefully.
And we'll also be talking about the Anti-Slam, which will be happening, and we'll be recording live from the Anti-Slam. What is an Anti-Slam? My producer is whispering across the across the room. You will find that out in the next in the next half of Right Radio.
Ah, I see. Keeping the mystery going.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll be hearing from a little bit more live from the My Place Young Writers Festival. And then we'll be hearing a little bit about what's going on in Sheffield and South Yorkshire as far as poetry nights and workshops and stuff.
Yeah. Wordsy stuff.
Wordsy things.
On. You're going to have to listen, to be forced to listen to some wordsy stuff in the form of adverts. So that's happening now. Is it?
Nothing to fear, for the dreams that came to you when so young told of a life where spring has sprung. While